Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Iowa Secretary of Agriculture was at Lely and Pella recently. What did he learn? Let's go in-depth with Mike Nigg. Secretary Nigg, what did you learn at Lely today?
Well, first of all, it was great to be here to see where these units are actually assembled. I've had a chance as I've traveled the state to be on several farms that have gone to incorporating robotics into their operations, and so to now come and see where they are assembled was a fun thing to do. I think we've got over 200 robotic milkers in the state of Iowa, and that number is increasing. And so then to come here to Lely and learn about how their view of things in terms of the potential for inclusion of robotics in dairy, really in the U.S. and in Canada, is there's a significant marketplace here. And interesting to come and learn about the technology that's behind the units that they currently have and how they view technology and incorporating digital agriculture and precision ag into these units going forward.
It's pretty amazing to watch the units. You've seen them in operation at various dairy operations?
Yes, I have. I've seen them in a small dairy where you might have one unit milking 60 cows, and I've seen it in as large a dairy as needing 12 units. And so really I've seen that application across the different scale that's out there in the industry.
Were you like me and thought, no way is this working?
Well, it is, and it's a really interesting piece of technology. Just the actual nuts and bolts of how the machine does the job of milking a cow. But then when you go and learn, what's really interesting to me is all of the data that's generated from this individualized milking process, where you can really track the production of that cow, you can track the health of that cow. I know that when I talk to some of these herdsmen, what they really enjoy about it is they've got a chance to figure out if there's something going on with that cow that's impacting maybe how much she's eating or drinking or producing, and they can do something with early intervention to try to really help that herd health out. And so again, from an animal welfare standpoint, let alone the nuts and bolts of the actual unit, it's very, very interesting and gives tools to our producers.
Now, I'm wondering what you do with this information then. We all want to see Lely grow and prosper.
Sure.
Can you help make that happen in your role?
Well, part of this is, as I'm in the role of Secretary of Ag, I it's important for me to get out across the state and understand what's going on in our industry. So that's from a basic standpoint, I have a responsibility to do that. And just to know, again, whether I'm on a dairy farm and understanding the challenges that they see from a labor shortage standpoint, or again, what they're trying to do to improve herd health, to follow this up the supply chain here and actually come and visit with Lely and see what they do here it's just important for me to make sure I'm aware of what's going on and connecting those dots. From an economic development standpoint, yes, we will absolutely do whatever we can do to help companies like Lely who will look to expand here in Pella. And again, serving North America from this North American headquarters is a great thing for our community.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nigg. So is there a forum for, let's say, when different Secretary of Agricultures get together, or when you meet at, some conference nationally or internationally, is there the potential for you to say, hey, here's the solution to your problem? It's in Pella, Iowa. It's Lely, and let me tell you about it. Does that kind of thing happen?
It does. It does both on two levels. One would be that I get a chance to interact with my counterparts from across the country through an organization called the National Association of State Departments of Ag, so NASDA. And we work together on a variety of issues. But, I do have a chance then to brag about some Iowa companies or Iowa-based companies and talk about the solutions that we've got. The other thing that we do as the State Department of Ag is we participate with dairy dairy regulators across the country as well. So there have been, you know, we've got to make sure that our ability to regulate doesn't get in the way of innovation in the industry. So that's another thing from a, you know, from our dairy program standpoint, is we want to make sure that we can accommodate these robotic systems, that they are safe, both for, you know, in terms of food safety, but also from an animal welfare standpoint. So we're heavily involved there, too, as the Department of Ag with other dairy regulators across the country to make sure that, you know, again, we can enable the technology and the adoption of technology and responsibly regulate that that industry.
I suspect you haven't had time to process this yet, but this interview is taking place the same day when President Trump announced the new Canada-Mexico trading agreement. Do you have any initial thoughts on that, or is it too soon?
Well, I think the initial reaction is this is wonderful news. We have been saying all along that in the midst of all of this uncertainty and the challenge that we're seeing in the ag economy, what we need is certainty brought back into our markets. Canada and Mexico are Iowa's number one and number two trading partners. You know, you don't have to wonder what the impact is on our economy to maintaining those non-tariff, you know, trade treatments across those two very, very important borders. So we had been saying all along that we need a NAFTA 2.0 to get finalized, that our preference was that it be with both Mexico and Canada. I'm very encouraged to see that that has happened, even if it did have to happen at the 11th hour. But us being able to maintain those markets, and in fact, we may even see some upside in terms of dairy in Canada in particular. But we'll learn the details here as we look into this further. But I take it as a very, very positive sign.
Okay, well, this looks like a step forward. What are you hearing on negotiations with China, the tariffs, all of that?
Yeah.
What are farmers telling you?
Yeah. Well, so again, all along, we've really made sure that you know, China's an important issue, certainly from a soybean and a pork standpoint for us, but NAFTA really, really was and is one of those priority issues we've got to focus on from trade. So again, good to have what appears to be a good resolution to that. And what we would like to see is now to carry that momentum into additional trade negotiations and agreements. So yes, with China, I think unfortunately it's going to take maybe longer to see some resolution here than what a lot of us would hope. I have said many times that Iowa farmers, as I visit with farmers and businesses both, folks understand what the administration is trying to do. There have been longstanding issues with China, non-tariff and tariff barriers. You know, we think about biotech trade approvals. China has blocked corn, DDGs, ethanol, beef, poultry, a number of products that we should be participating in that Chinese market at a much higher level than what we are able to currently because of some of those barriers. So folks will, I generally hear, or routinely hear, folks understand what the administration's trying to do. The problem is that the retaliatory tariffs that the Chinese have placed on soybean and pork in particular are absolutely impacting our markets. And so while people can understand that there's need for some progress here, a need for some change, the retaliatory tariffs are hurting our farmers, and it's just not a sustainable situation. So I have said I'm not a fan of tariffs. Would not be the approach that I would have chosen. We need to urge the administration to move quickly to try to resolve this situation in a way that lifts those retaliatory tariffs. And then the other piece that we need to see in relation to all of this is we really need to go play offense on trade. We've seen some news here recently that they're, you know, U.S. and the EU are looking at enhancing trade relationship. We've seen an announcement last week between the United States and Japan to enhance a relationship there with South Korea. These are important markets for us. So particularly throughout the Asia Pacific Rim countries, countries that had been involved in the TPP that the United States pulled out of, we need to figure out how to do some bilateral trade agreements with those countries. And so play offense on trade and make sure we've got more opportunity to export.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Nagg. And so do you think the answer is bilateral or multinational?
You know, I think I would have preferred, and I think you talk across agriculture, folks would have preferred to have pursued TPP as a, you know, as the group of countries. The president has chosen not to pursue that route, at least not currently. And so has said that he prefers bilaterals. You know, I think as long as we can get good deals on a bilateral basis, then so be it. The preference would probably be to work in a block. But if it's bilaterals that we need to have, then let's get on with it.
When us pulling out of TPP happened, there was speculation that now China would emerge as a major force. Has that happened?
Well, I think that's what they're attempting to do, and I think, right, it's a TPP was a trade agreement about China that didn't include China. And so I think what we are seeing is a country that's the number two economy in the world, a country that is, growing and a GDP rate of 6-7%. I mean, they're obviously a player. And I don't know how this all plays out, but I know that we should be doing business with China's neighbors in the long run.
I read something interesting last night that once our relationship with respect to China and the importation of soybeans happened, they went to Brazil. Mm-hmm. But now, and they, you know, essentially sucked all the soybeans, are going to take all the soybeans out of Brazil. Now Brazil is buying soybeans from us. Isn't that an interesting turn of events?
Well, it is. You know, let's not forget this about China. You're talking about a country that's got 1.4 billion people. They've got a middle class that's bigger than the entire United States population. They've got rising incomes and standards of living. The demand for food and energy in China is significant. And so they will need to import food and feed products. That's a true thing. So if they're not going to buy from the United States, they're going to have to buy from somewhere else, and then that creates other market opportunities. Now it creates a lot of disruption in the process, but if China shifts their purchasing habits, there will be other opportunities that are created. But again, my hope is that in the long run, that we will continue to have a mutually beneficial trade agreement with China. They need things that we have. We need things that they have. This can be done in a way that benefits both countries. In the long run, we hope that there's an upside for agriculture in China.
Now, there's been some concern that smaller Iowa operations, farmers are going to lose their farms over this. First, are you hearing that? And then second, that there's larger operations that are seeing this as an opportunity where they can consolidate more farms and grow even bigger. So we'll be losing smaller farmers, greater, larger corporate interests. Is this a concern of yours?
Well, First of all, I'd say it's hard to say exactly how all of this plays out. Here's what I know. I know that the markets, and really we've been on a 5-year downward trend in farm incomes, right? So you have to paint all of this on that backdrop. But the markets today we're not in a sustainable situation. We've got the cost of production that exceeds the value of the crop. That's not sustainable for anybody. And so that's a point we keep reminding the administration of, is that this can't go on forever. We need to see some action. We need to see some relief. We need to see some certainty brought into the marketplace. So those things that are, those markets will impact producers differently. I think it's a very real possibility that there will be folks that will not make it through this situation, especially if we don't see some resolution soon. Now, again, NAFTA is a good sign that brings certainty back in. I think we also would like to see strengthening of the renewable fuels standard. If we can get to a year-round E15 announcement, we are hearing rumors that that may be coming soon. Those are the types of things that start to build certainty back into the market and provide some support. And then, as I mentioned before, the ability to get on the play offense on trade and open and expand some markets around the world. These are all things that will benefit our farmers.
Well, you're also, at the same time you're doing your job as Secretary of Agriculture, you're also having to run a campaign.
That's right.
Elections coming up.
Right.
Anything you'd like to share with our listeners today regarding that?
Well, it's just, it's been an absolute honor to serve as the Secretary of Ag. And so, I came in March after Secretary Northey was confirmed and went to USDA as an undersecretary. I've really tried, and again, having spent 4.5 years as the deputy secretary prior to that, I was able to really hit the ground running and get across the state, meet with folks, be you know, on the ground with companies like Lely, with our dairy farmers to understand their situation. Again, try to do something with what we learn. So it's been a tremendous honor to have been able to serve in the role. I'm working hard to secure a full term here. I would love to stay in the role and keep advocating for Iowa farmers and businesses.
Thanks to Mike Negg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.